Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, listeners. And I guess it's appropriate to say Merry Christmas. It is now once more and again that we come together to explore the Word of God. And it is a good time to do it as we enter into the Christmas season. Our lesson tonight is really based on that, and I want you to know that no matter what the world says or does, or no matter what people do, I want to tell you tonight that Jesus is the real reason for the season. I thank God, first of all, for allowing us to have this time together, and I thank Jesus, His Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I thank each and every one of you that took time out of your busy, busy schedule tonight to come in to explore the Word of God together. I just want to say thank you. So for tonight, our lesson is no matter what is being said, no matter what is being done, you can be assured that Jesus is the real reason for the season. And our lesson tonight is coming out of the book of Luke, and we're going to be in the second chapter through the 20th verse. So those who have your Bibles, you could turn to the scripture. You know, I pray that everybody had a good week, because, you know, sometimes dealing with the Christmas holiday, it could get to be overwhelming. You know, it could really, you know, get you down, or it could really make you joyous. It could be either way. But with Jesus being a reason for the season, no matter what state we are in, we know we'll be all right because of Him. And I just want to say glory be to God. So for those who have your Bibles, go to Luke, second chapter, the 4th through the 20th verse. And as always, I would like to know if anybody would like to open us up with prayer. If you do, you just have to punch the 1 button on your phone, and you could you'll be able to open us up with prayer. And what we're going to do is go to the throne of grace, and we're going to open up with prayer. And after that, I'll play a song that I think is so appropriate, and then we'll go into our lesson. So be ready, sit back, and enjoy. And I would like any comments at the end of the program. Those who are listening on the internet, you can take and call the number. And if you press the 1 button on your phone, you may speak. So let us go into prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, love of my soul, eternal Father, dear Lord God, I want to just say thank you. Thank you for this opportunity, dear God, that we could come together and learn more of you. Thank you, dear God, that you allow us to have this time to share with one another. I thank you, dear God, for your mercy and your gracious Son and your Spirit. I pray that the Holy Ghost give illumination and revelation of what's going to be said on tonight. Lord, if I didn't have you in my life, I don't know where would I be. And, Lord, I'm just asking that you be with us and guide us through this lesson, and that we will be made better because of it. Thank you, dear God. In Jesus' name, amen. And at this time, I'm going to play a song, and after the song, we'll go into the lesson. Thank you. I think that's a beautiful song. You know, it's a song that, you know, was created for the Passion of Christ. And it was lyrics that was used in a song. And, you know, I think it's such a beautiful song because, you know, even Mary didn't probably understand the multitude of what was really happening, you know. And the scriptures say that she pondered on it a lot of times because she didn't fully understand it. And yet we, you know, have the opportunity to have the scripture and see the beginning, and we even have word about the end, and that's just so wonderful. So at this time, I see that my grandson Madison has called in, and I'm so elated and I'm excited. You know, in our lives, we should have some influence on somebody. And I pray that I keep a godly influence on my grandson because we're living in perilous times. And we know that our young black men are being killed on the street each day. So we have to just cover them with the blood of Jesus and build a hedge around them and give them some insight to know right from wrong and have a desire to fear God that their life will be made successful. But at this time, he's on the line, and I'm going to open his mic, and I'm going to let him come to you guys in any way that he's comfortable with tonight. Madison?
Yes?
Would you like to say anything tonight?
Yes. I would like all y'all to have a happy Christmas and do well on Christmas. Try to give to others, like on the street. And try to make their life easier. Well, that's all I have to say.
And would you like to give us a prayer tonight?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
God, thank you for another Monday of this week that we are able to hear somebody teach us about God today. Not many people do that on Mondays. Many people have things to do on Tuesday, but my grandmother takes her time on this Wednesday and on Monday for Bible studies. Thank you. Thank you for keeping her alive and all the people right now that is listening. Make sure they are safe when they go to sleep and make sure they're able to do whatever they have to do tomorrow because it's Christmas Eve. Last-minute Christmas shopping, please be with them. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Madison, I thank you so much. And if you can, you can listen to the program since there is no school tomorrow. But I really do thank you, Madison, and I appreciate you taking the time and calling. And I thank you for your obedience when I ask you to do something. So keep holding on to God's unchanging hand, and your life will have success. Thank you. So at this time, for those who wasn't on the line because more callers have come in, our scripture is coming from Luke, the 2nd chapter, the 4th through the 20th verse. For those who don't know, that's the story of Jesus. That's what everyone used for the Christmas story. And our topic tonight is no matter what is being said or done, Jesus is the reason for the season. You know, it's that time of year again. December has come, and with all the joys of Christmas. But when you think about it, what is the real meaning of Christmas? Some people think about it only as the gifts under the tree, or the lights in the window, the cards in the mail, turkey dinners with family and friends, stocking singing in the living room, and shouts of Merry Christmas to those who pass us in the street. But is this really what Christmas is about? You see, the real Christmas story is the story of God becoming a human in the person of Jesus Christ. Why did God do such a thing? Because he loves us. Why was Christmas necessary? I don't know if you ever asked yourself. But Christmas was necessary because we needed a Savior. And why does God love us so much? You see, because God is the total essence of love himself. God is full of love. God is total love. And that's why he loved us so much. That's why he gave his son. That's why he allowed himself to be wrapped up in flesh to save a wretch like me. You know, why do we celebrate Christmas each year? We should look at it as a special opportunity to remember and show our gratitude for what God has done for us. When we remember his birth, we should be worshiping him, and we should be living our lives in a way to give him glory. And then we do give gifts one to another. And it should be an offering of love, not out of necessity, not grudgingly, but out of love. And we should especially be conscious of the poor and less fortunate. You see, God wants us to have this attitude, not just at Christmas, but all year long. You see, the true meaning of Christmas is love. You know, the scriptures say God loves his own, and he provided a way. God loved us, and we was all destined to die and go to hell, but he provided a way, and the only way for us to spend eternity with him was through his son. You see, he gave his son to take our punishment of our sins. He paid the price in full, and we are free from condemnation when we accept the free gift of love. It's a free gift. But God demonstrated his love for us in this. You know, he didn't do it when we got right. He didn't do it when we start looking for him. He didn't do it once we realized it. You see, the scriptures say, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And then you might say, well, why did he come, you know? Why did God send his son to this sometime cruel and evil world? He sent Jesus to us so that one day he would grow up to become a very important part of history. And you see, history is usually your story. So Jesus' story, which is his history, is one of love, truth, and hope. You see, it brought salvation to all of us. And without Jesus, we would have died in our sins. You see, for many people, Christmas is a time of sorrow. They don't have the extra money to buy the presents for their children, family, or friends. Many are saddened at Christmas time when they think of their loved ones that may not be able to come home for various reasons. And they think of those loved ones who has passed away. And many times people say Christmas is a bad time for me, because they be missing their loved ones for one reason or another. Or either the turkey dinner may be only a wish and not a reality for everyone. Yet, Christmas can be a season of great joy. It is a time of God showing his great love for us. It can be a time of healing if you let it do that. If you remember if you think on the goodness of Jesus and all that he done for you, whatever sadness that you may have may be turned into gladness. And you see, it's a time to renew your strength because there's so much love in the air. You see, no matter what situation or circumstances you may be facing, no matter what anyone say or do, I came to tell you tonight that Jesus is the reason for the season. And he's working all things out for your good. Trust him, and I guarantee you that he will see you through. You see, in the story, you know, of the birth of Christmas, you see they had shepherds, wise men, angel, and they all shared in excitement of knowing about the great event. You know, the shepherds, the wise men, and the angels all shared the excitement of knowing about the great event. Now we have the opportunity to read it in the Word of God, and how do we share it? First of all, do we share it, and do we look at it with excitement? Christmas is a joyous time when we could sit down and meditate and pray and thank God for what he has done and is doing and promised to do in our lives. You see, they knew that this was no ordinary baby, and the prophets had told of his coming hundreds of years before. You see, the star stopped over Bethlehem just to mark the way for those who were looking for this special child, because he would be the reason for the season. You know, and my lesson tonight wouldn't be complete if I don't read what's in the scripture. So I'm going to that scripture I told you about, Luke, the second chapter, verses 4 through 20, and I'm going to read it, and I'm going to expound on it a little while. You see, and Joseph also went up to Galilee out of the city of Nazareth to Judea into the city of David, which was called Bethlehem, because he was out of the house in the lineage of David. Now, when you see that's excitement anyway. The Bible told us and tells us that Jesus had to be born out of the lineage of David. And y'all may not have paid attention to this, but Joseph, see the scripture right here is telling us, Joseph had to go to Bethlehem because, you know, they had made a tax and everybody had to go back to where they was from. And they called Nazareth into Judah, unto the city of David. And he was a descendant of David. And Jesus was going to come from the line of David. You see, so this is another reason that you could understand why Joseph was necessary to be Mary's expound husband. Because, you see, God wanted that linkage. So it's just so amazing how God connects all the dots and his master plan is going to be fulfilled and he has a purpose and it's going to be worked out. You see, they all had to go there because they had to be taxed because the king had made a decree to tax and he brought Mary and the scriptures say his expound wife being with child. And the reason they say expound wife because they hadn't got married. And when you took someone in those days, like for your engagement, you still had all of the obligation of husband and wife towards each other. And they went there. They went to Bethlehem because Joseph had to go back to his original place to pay tax, in which was the city of David. And then the sixth chapter say, and so it was that while they were there, the days was accomplished that she would deliver. And she brought forth her first son. And you see right here they say her first son. That lets us know that Mary had other children after Jesus. You know, some people believe that Mary was a virgin when she died and she never had other children, but that's not so. And the scripture right here tells us that she brought forth her first son. And we know that she had other children because James, who wrote the book of James in the Bible, is Jesus' brother, and also Jude. But the Bible says she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothing and laid him in a manger. And I want plenty of people to know, because anytime you talk about this, when they say the manger, some people think that that was the building or that was the stable. But a manger was a trough or an open box that was placed in a stable. It was designed to hold feed for the livestock. So when they placed them in a manger, they talking about the little, you know, we'll call it like a, not a crib, but a bassinet today. So that was the manger, not the building. And they say because there was no room in the inn for them. And there was in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Now, and lo, the angel of the Lord came unto them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were so afraid. That was 9. 10 said, and the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Now, this is another thing. It's so amazing when God decided to announce it to the first people Not that there were prophecy about it, and not that the star was already in the sky, but when the birth was had taken place, God sent angels to the shepherds. You see, shepherds at that time, you know, was like, I ain't gonna call them outcasts, but they was low on the totem pole as far as people with respect and things like that. You know, they said it was usually dirty because they laid and slept with their sheep. But isn't it amazing how God has no respect to person? And he allowed the angels to go up on the shepherds, and the angels, you know, shone bright on them, that they was afraid. And the angels said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings and great joy, which shall be for all people. And 11, what the angels told them, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothing, laying in a manger. And suddenly there was a great angel, a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards all men. That's beautiful. And then 15 say, it came to pass as the angels was going away from them and they was going back into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us now go unto Bethlehem and see the thing which is come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. So they decided to go. Are there any things in your life that God has made known to you that you decide to not do it, to ignore it? Do you really want to be led by God? Do you really accept the call of God? You'll have to ask yourself that. But you see, when he told that to the shepherds, they questioned themselves one to another. They got up and they went. And 16 say, they came into with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad and same which was told to them concerning the child. Now this is important, 17. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the same which was told to them concerning the child. So really and truly, after the shepherd was told and they went and see, they went out and witnessed. They went told abroad, the scripture says, what they had seen and heard. You know, everything that God is doing in our lives is a testimony, and it's a time that we can share the good news, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ, to others. And that's our job. The scriptures tell us that we should go ye therefore into all nations. And that's what we should be doing, and not just at Christmas time, but all times of the year. But if you take and read the Christmas story and you know, reflect on it, it may give you the desire to want to tell somebody about what Jesus has done and is doing. And on 18, they say, and all that heard it wonder at those things which were told to them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. And that's the Christmas story mostly everybody used. That's all that's printed in the Bible. You know, if you haven't read it before, go back and visit it and see what thus say the Lord, what thus say the Lord concerning the birth of his child. You see, we have to remember, we were in a mess. You know, why do we celebrate Christmas? Why is Christmas important? Because Jesus was born. You see, through the sins of Adam and Eve, we had all inherited a sin nature. And we needed it to be removed. And the only way is through Jesus. Jesus came so that he could die on the cross for all of our sins. So I'm asking you to look at Christmas a new way this year. This is a year that we look to Jesus, the real reason for the season, and let him fill our whole heart. I'm not talking about some of your heart. I'm asking you to get all of the word out your head and let it penetrate your heart. You know, we are hearers of the word, but we must become doers of the word. And let Jesus fill our whole heart. You see, because then every day could be a Merry Christmas. You know, the joy and peace you will receive will last you all year as you look to God for all your needs to be met. Yes, Jesus is the reason for the season, and we should all rejoice. Have you been rejoicing in Jesus lately? Do you just sit down and rejoice in the Lord? And it's not a once-a-year thing. It's an all-year-long. And, you know, there's a lot of misconceptions. There's a lot of misconceptions going on in the world. You know, we got the atheists. We have Muslims. We have Jehovah's Witness. We have Mormons. And, you know, plenty of things that they say that we believe in that it can't be proven. Plenty of things that we say, they say, you know, it's not real. And so there's so many conceptions out there. And I believe if you're a Christian, that means you have already accepted Christ as your Savior. So you have accepted him, you know, and the misconceptions, you know, shouldn't bother you. But you should know where they come from and why and what's the truth and what's the fact. You see, one of them is, was Jesus born on December the 25th? You see, December the 25th had become more and more acceptable as the birth date of Jesus. However, some argue that the birth occurred in some other season, which as in the fall. If you research the date of Jesus' birth, most people, some people, not most, but some were saying June, and another bunch would say in September. And the reason they say this is because Judean, where it would happen in Bethlehem, they said in the winter it was so cold for shepherds to be watching their flocks by night. You know, they say that time of the year, shepherds used to leave their sheep out so that they could graze in the grass, and they said it wouldn't have grass too much at that time because of the cold weather. So they were saying it wouldn't make sense that he was born on December the 25th. But, you know, now history proves otherwise. However, we have hysterical, there's some historical evidence that unblemished sheep, and when I say unblemished, that means unblemished lambs. Unblemished lambs was lambs that was going to be used for sacrifices. So even though it was cold, you know, they was the sacrifice system was still in place because, you know, there was no need for sacrifices once Jesus died and rose. But up until that time, they were still doing sacrifices, and they needed unblemished lambs to do this. So some historians believe that they were out there with the unblemished lambs waiting to do the sacrifice for the temple with the priests. Okay? With that said, it is impossible to prove whether or not Jesus was born on the 25th. And ultimately, you know, it really does not matter because he was born. We know that. We may not know when, but we do know how he was born by the Virgin Mary, and we do know why, to save us from our sins. And, you know, really and truly, that should be enough. Because, you know, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. You know, when you build your faith up, you can't, you know, everything you may not be explainable to you. But you have the faith. And like I said, we may not know when, but we do know how. And we do know why he was born. And through your faith, that should be enough. You see, one thing is clear, and it's the way I like to say it, and you always have to remember when you study the Word of God, you shouldn't put into it or take out of it. And if God felt that it was important for us to know the exact date of the Savior's birth, he certainly would have told us in his Word. You see, the Gospel of Luke, the one that I read you, gives us very specific details about the events, even down to what the baby was wearing, swallowing clothes, and where he was kept in a manger. You see, these details are important because they speak of his nature and character, meek and lowly. He didn't come in on a horse in a shining armor because it wasn't necessary. You know, he didn't have to come up, you know, boasting, in a boasting manner, you know, with bling, bling, bling on, because you see one thing about it, Jesus knew who he was. You see, when you could be humble and you could be lowly and you could have a meek spirit when you know who you are and you know your purpose. You see, the world tell you if you meek, you beat. But the scriptures tell us that meekness is strength under control. And the exact date of his birth has no significance, however, which may be why God chose not to mention it. But the good news is that he was born and that he came into the world to atone for our sins. And we do know the scripture said that he was resurrected to eternal life and that he's alive today. Is that enough for you? Is that enough for you to realize that Jesus is the reason for the season? And you see, this is what we should celebrate. You know, we got the Christmas, and it's been embedded in our heads so long. And it's almost that we as Christians became lackadaisical. And plenty of times we forget the true meaning for the reason of the season. But we have to look to the author and the finish of our faith. Because you see, in Zechariah, which was in the Old Testament, 2:11 said, and this was God speaking, he was giving this prophecy to his prophet Zechariah, and he said, and many nations shall be joined to the Lord in that day, and shall be my people. And I will dwell in the midst of them, and they shall know that the Lord of hosts has sent me. Now, this is speaking of Jesus. He said, a day will come when many nations will join in that day, and they're going to be called his people, and he shall dwell in the midst of them. You see, he had to be born to dwell in the midst, and they shall know that the Lord of hosts has sent me. That I came from the Father. That's beautiful. That's what we should celebrate, that he came and that God sent him. You see, further, the angels announced the birth to the shepherds, and a shepherd brought great news of great joy that will be for all the people. Can God trust you with a message as he trusts the shepherd? You know, you have to ask yourself, you know, what have I done for God lately? What have I expressed? What have I shared? The knowledge that I have about Jesus Christ. And I know some people always say, because they tell me all the time, I don't know enough. But everybody knows something. And whatever you know, do you share it with anybody? Because that's true celebration of the coming of the Lord. Surely there is a cause for celebration every day, not just once a year. And yes, I know for sure that Jesus is the reason for the season. And you see, there's another misconception when we see the word Xmas. And I think a couple of weeks ago I expressed it as the world trying to take Christ out of Christmas. And that's what some people are really doing with it. But that's not the reason and the origin that it came from. You see, there were many who viewed the word Christmas as a part of the overall war on Christmas. And believe me, there's a war on Christmas. We know that there's a battle going on. There's God people and there's Satan people. And there's a war going on within us between the spirit and the flesh. But they say they view it as a, you know, some people view this Xmas as a blatant attempt to take Christ out. While it is undeniable that some use Xmas in this manner, they love to say Xmas than say Christmas. Of course, you know, you got the atheists and the Muslims and, you know, and all of that, and people who, you know, just don't believe Jesus is the reason for the season. But the actual origin of the word Xmas has nothing to do with taking Christ out of Christmas. You see, it in Greek, the original language of the New Testament, the word for Christ is Xtosius, which began with the Greek letter that is essentially the same letter as the English letter X. So lots of times you could see some things that have that X on it, and it's really representing Christ. So originally, Xmas was simply an abbreviation for Christmas. No grand conspiracy to take Christ out of Christmas. It was just an abbreviation. But we do know some use it in that manner. And when I say that, this is what you always have to remember. Anything that you do, you are Christian. And if you use Xmas as a part of taking Christ out of Christmas, you're doing the same thing. But if you're using it as an abbreviation, you know, you're all right. It's always the attitudes and the thoughts behind the action that count. You see, all people were about giving gifts. And sometimes people say, well, you don't need to give gifts because Jesus is the reason for the season. So what you're saying, is it wrong to give gifts? Can gift giving become the focus of Christmas instead of thanking God for the gift? Of course it can. Again, the attitude behind the action, the attitude and the thoughts behind what you're doing. Yes, it can be. Does giving gifts have to take away from the true meaning of Christmas? No, it does not. You see, if we focus on the wonderful gift of salvation the Lord has given us, given to others, is a natural expression of our gratitude. The key is our focus. That's what I say it. Our focus, our attitude. Is your focus on the gift? Come on now. Or on the ultimate gift giver? Our gracious Heavenly Father. You see, the scripture says that every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights. You see, many people take the idea of giving gifts at Christmas, and the way they get it from, if you go to Matthew 2:10-11, if you want to just write it down, this was when the wise men came to bring the gifts to Jesus. That's where the gift giving come from. You know, some things that we do, we need to know why we do it and where it came from. Do it make sense? But you see, anytime you want to show love to somebody, you don't have to question yourself if that's wrong. And as I talk about the wise men, this is another misconception. Today, when you see the nativity scene, they always have the three wise men in there with Jesus and Mary and Joseph. But I want to tell you tonight that the wise men was not at the birth of Jesus. And it's real, really easy to comprehend, because let me tell you this. When the star appeared in the sky and the wise men saw it, that's when Jesus was born. But the wise men followed the star all the way to where Jesus was. Remember, they didn't have cars, they didn't have planes, so they had to travel. And that travel took time. And when they found Jesus, Mary and Joseph was living in a house the scripture says it. You can look at it in Matthew's. And they say, when they saw the star, they rejoiced. On coming to the house, that's the scripture say, the house, they saw the child, not the baby, with his mother. And they bowed down and worshiped him. And they gave him the gifts. Most people believe that Jesus was about 2 years old. Definitely walking and probably talking by the time that the wise men get there. But the world has decided to put him in the manger. I mean, in a nativity scene, in a stable scene, a nativity scene. And we take it as that. Now, by taking it as that for all of them years, if you didn't know the difference, is it a bad thing? No, because your faith is in Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of your faith. You believe that he has healing power and that he is your Savior. But it's good to know what the scripture says. And as I get ready to close tonight, you know, the Bible gives a wonderful story about the gift God gave us. Let me tell you one more misconception. You see, when we talk about that December the 25th, what happened was, no matter when he was born, the Roman Catholics dominated the religious sector of that time, way back. And there, on December the 25th, there were two pagan festivals, holidays that people celebrated. One was the festive of the sun, and one was concerning a witch. And the Roman Catholic Church decided to put Christ's birth on the 25th because they believed that that was a good thing to take away two pagan holidays and put it with a religious holiday. Now, was Jesus born on the 25th? I don't know. The Roman Catholics decided to put it on the 5th, and now we are in the year 2014, and it's been over 2,000 years that it was placed. Well, not the, it wasn't 200,000. It wasn't 2,000 years that it was placed, because I have the date, but I don't remember now when the Roman Catholics decided to do that. But, you know, as I started off saying that most people accept December the 25th, but you could get in a fuss. Not in a fuss, but you could get in a debate with an atheist, and they would try to tell you how silly you are celebrating Christ's birthday on the 25th when he wasn't really born then, you know. And, you know, there's another misconception about the tree, because Jesus hung on a tree, and they say if you put a Christmas tree up, you know, that's blasphemy, and you know, that's disrespect to God to use a tree in your house. And I was belonged to a church, and they were so pro against trees and gifts and everything at that time. And if, you know, you listen to that and you wonder if it's right, because most of the time when you're being taught, and if you taught something enough, you begin to believe it. It'll make you ponder to say, well, maybe I shouldn't, you know, or maybe, you know, I shouldn't do this. But, you know, if somebody come and I have a Christmas tree and they say my Christmas tree is abomination to God, no, I'll say, no, it's not. It's just decoration. Because it's the focus and the attitude that we deal with anything determines the true nature of whatever the thing is. You see, in the Bible give us wonderful stories about the gift God gave us, Jesus Christ. And we could use it as an opportunity to present the gospel and to show love. Come on now. That's what we should do with it. Use it. Might be the 25th, might not be the wise men definitely wasn't in there, and a Christmas tree can be for decoration. Grow up. Understand. Put your priorities and your focus and deal in the right attitude what God has given us, and use that to show love. You see, it's amazing that Jesus' birthday, that on Jesus' birthday, we give and receive gifts to one another. And guess what? I believe Christ is okay with that, because he's full of love, and he wants us to always be kind to one another. But with that, we should remember that our life is a gift from God, and what we do with it is a gift to God. So let us give Christ our best gifts of our time, our resources, and our talents, not just at Christmas time, but all through the year. Because it's his birthday, and he is the reason for the season. And that's my lesson tonight. And at this time, I'm going to open up the floor for anyone who would like to make a comment, anyone who would like to say anything, anyone would like to pray, anybody would like to glorify God for his gift. I mean, you know, you could come in any kind of way you want. We have to be mindful of what God did. We really do. And we could use Christmas time as a joyous time. Everybody's saying hello to everybody. Nobody's birthday could create that but Jesus. Even people who not putting Christ as the reason for the season celebrate Christmas. It's a joyous time. It's a time of giving and receiving and showing love and joy and sparkle in the air. That's nobody's birthday could do that but Jesus. Nobody. So I thank God for his son. I thank God the day he allowed himself to be born, to be wrapped up in flesh, to be born of a woman, to grow up, to walk this earth, to be crucified, buried, and resurrected, so that all of us can have a chance at the tree of life. I thank God for Jesus on tonight. And I pray that you would as well. And if nobody would like to say anything at this time, what I'm going to do is going to go ahead and do the benediction prayer. And I have some more beautiful Christmas songs that I'll play for those who like to listen and wait for the music. But if anyone would like to pray or say anything, you can press your one button and I'll open the phone. So let me pray. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, we enter your courts with thanksgiving and into your gates with praise. Lord, I want to thank you because it's almost the end of another year. 2015 is fast approaching. We only have a few days left in this year. And Lord, if it's your will, we will go into the new year. And because of that, I say thank you. Lord, I thank you for everything that has happened in 2014. And we realize that that is a part of our past. And Lord, please grant us wisdom as we look to the future. Bless every home that is represented here, dear God. Remove all doubt and fear. Give us a desire to want to praise your holy name. Give us a desire to want to share the good news of Jesus Christ with someone. Lord, let us take every opportunity that is placed before us to tell somebody about you. Lord, you say you're coming back for your people, and it's our job to let everyone know, because you won't come back till everyone has had the opportunity to hear about you. And some people won't really listen unless you know, each one of us tells someone. But Lord, let us take and be serious about the things of God as we go on in our walk of life. Thank you, dear God, for your son, and thank you for your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen, and thank God. And I'm going to play some music, and if anyone would like to say something, the lights could still come on, and I could still open the mic for you. 7 and 5. Is this our last lesson of the year? Because the day the 22nd. Let me see. Well, New Year's Eve would be the last lesson. And New Year's Eve is the Wednesday. So if we do a lesson, it'll be on Tuesday, and I'll let everybody know. And those people who are on the Internet, you could watch the Internet and look for the lesson. So this may be our last lesson. No, we'll do a lesson, and it'll probably be next Tuesday because that would be – so it wouldn't be on New Year's Eve because I know people's schedules sometimes won't allow it. But so we'll be back again on next Tuesday because of the same schedule. But just keep Christ in your Christmas. And I'm going to go ahead and play this music. And if you decide you want to say something, you can still press the one button on your phone. Thank you.
Oh, the world. church, and I know that she's going to do a good job.
Everybody's